of the world, Las Vegas. Sports, entertainment, brought to you in stilettos. Your host, Tanya Brennan.
Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl, and yes, we've got a lot of sports for you today in stilettos. But right now, in studio, my co-host, friend, former pro cheerleader with me on the San Francisco 49ers, but also with the Denver Broncos for years as a cheerleader and a director. And we're going to talk a little bit about what she's doing now. Teresa Petronovich is in studio.
How are you? Hey, Tanya. Great to be back.
Good to have you. Sneaking. We got you out of the office, and now you're in studio with us again by demand.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, by day, I do have a day job, and by day, I work for a specialty contractor here in Las Vegas, and I have the awesome job of just meeting with general contractors, going on job sites, and seeing all the cool things that we are building here in town. So we work on the Strip. We do some great restaurants. Hell's Kitchen is one of them.
Nice.
We work in all of the different casinos on the Strip. And really, you know, I went from my job in football, entertainment, creating experiences, to now creating experiences for all the fabulous people that come to Vegas for their holidays. So anyway, I love what I do. And then I also do some freelance work in sports.
That's
as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And you actually put on one of the biggest events this past year. Tell us about that.
So I was asked to help do all of the entertainment for the Battle for Vegas, which was a celebrity softball tournament. It was Team Riley Smith versus Team Marcus Allen. So, you know, kind of Golden Knights, Oakland Raiders. The Raiderettes came. We flew them in. They performed. We had a flyover with the awesome guys from Nellis Air Force Base. We had national anthem. So I brought kind of all of my game entertainment experience from the Broncos and put it into that game. And we raised a lot of money for charity, and it was just a great time. And we're definitely planning again for this coming year. No date released yet, but it'll happen.
Very cool. And last week, we talked a lot about the Denver Bronco cheerleaders. We had our former director, Angela King, join us. And also, that was kind of fun to share old stories. But now you're in Vegas. What do you think about this city booming up with sports?
I think it's amazing. It's incredible. And the town has really come out for the Knights and really shown all the support. And the town has actually got a great taste of what an awesome game presentation, awesome game experience is like. So the Knights have blessed us with that. And so now, you know, the Raiders really got to step up and compare to what the Knights have been giving everybody. And I know they will. They've got a great team on it as well. So It's going to be a fun year.
Now, I wanted to ask you, because we know in that AFC, there's a huge rivalry, Denver Broncos and the Raiders are coming here. Can you kind of just sum up what that rivalry is? I put you on the spot. How has that been over the years?
You know, the Raiders coming into Mile High Stadium, I mean, that was always just the biggest rivalry since, I mean, for 35, 40 years.
Wow.
I mean, it is an incredible rivalry between teams, but we've also traded back and forth a lot of players as well. So it's you know, it's going to be tough for me. I am a huge football fan, and I will go to all those games and enjoy every minute of it. I can't say that I'll put on a Raiders shirt, but I will be there.
You'll support the NFL.
Absolutely.
Yep. And that stadium looks mighty nice out there. I got to tell you, when I drove by it today, there's now white trim around that building. It's amazing how quickly that puppy is going up.
So I work two blocks away, and every day it's different. It's incredible.
Speaking of the Bay Area teams, later this hour, NFL, former San Francisco 49er, Jesse Sapolu will be joining us. He was center and guard for the 49ers, four-time Super Bowl champion. And in addition to that, what a treat we have, running back for the San Francisco 49ers, All-Pro Ricky Waters will also be joining us. So it's going to be interesting to talk to both of them. I worked with them on the 94 team where we won that Super Bowl in Miami. But to get their perspectives on that Monday night football game last night between 49ers and Seattle. Did you watch the game, Teresa?
I did. It was amazing.
It was a heartbreaker. I'm still heartbroken over it today. But let's break it down a little bit. This NFC division, this West in the NFC is so strong. The 49ers taking on Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks at Levi's Stadiums. The fans went nuts last night. It was so loud. Seattle wanted to knock the 49ers off of that perfect record, and they sure did. And they did it without 49ers' best offensive player, as Kyle Shanahan says. George Kittle was out of the game, tight end, and kicker Robbie Gould was also out of the game. And this game really came down to field goals. We're going to talk about that in a minute because we went into overtime. But Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback, a lot of heat as of late. Can this guy win it in crunch times? And last night, it was tough for him, I got to be honest. Rookie running back Samuel Deebo stepped up, as did Kendrick Bourne. In overtime, I got to say, both sides on the defense were amazing. The 49ers came in this in the top two ranked defenses in the entire National Football League. But Seattle's Jadeveon Clowney had his biggest impact since joining the Seahawks. He returned a fumble for 10 yards. He had a strip and five quarterback hits. They were really adamant about going after Jimmy G from the 49ers. Receiver Josh Gordon of the Seattle Seahawks made his debut last night, looking very good. Not quite up to speed with that offense, but still doing a great job for the Seahawks. Of course, the 49ers defense, despite their loss, they really did a great job last night. They were stripping the ball. They were holding Russell Wilson to minimal plays. 49ers were up early in the first half, 10-7. Then Seattle Seahawks scored 21 unanswered points. As this game went on, both quarterbacks found themselves throwing a few interceptions. The defenses were getting the balls back to try to give their team another opportunity to win. At the end of the game, towards the end of regular regulation, 49ers backup kicker Chase McLaughlin made a field goal and tied this game up. Now, the 49ers were down, and it was really tough to see because they lost a few of their players in the first half. Matt Breida went out in the first half as well. Emmanuel Sanders went out with a rib injury. Seattle moved the ball down the 49ers defense, and Dre Greenlaw of the defense on San Francisco intercepted the ball to move it and take it down. 47-yard run to give the 49ers another opportunity. 49er kicker gets back into the game, tries to go for the field goal, and misses the 47-yard attempt, giving Seattle the ball back with just over a minute. Now, we know you can't give Russell Wilson the ball back. It's like Tom Brady, right? Russell managed to scramble down the field 18 yards, set up the field goal for their kicker, Jason Myers, who made the field goal, and Seattle wins this one 27-24. According to Russell Wilson, this was the craziest game he's ever played. And these guys on both sides, both teams looked beat at the end of this game. This was Seattle's second straight overtime win by a field goal. And, you know, we talked about Russell Wilson being in that center, being dangerous for the opposition. Seahawks shut down the 49ers running game, which, by the way, they've been doing fantastic lately. They held them to 3.2 yards per carry and forced Garoppolo into a really off night. Garoppolo finished 24 for 48 with 248 yards, one touchdown and an interception, and the guy was sacked five times.
Wow. So I have to give a shout out to Leo Gray. He called this win last week.
He did.
He said Seattle, Russell Wilson, Seattle is due. And, you know, Leo, miss you, Leo.
We know you're listening, Leo. Thanks for that bit of information, but you're right. So we owe you lunch. Really tough last night. A lot of injuries for both teams. We talked about 49ers wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders left early with a rib injury in the first half. They lost defensive tackle DJ Jones, who was sidelined later with a groin injury. Running back Matt Breida left with an ankle injury. He's getting a second opinion today. And here's the sad news. Defensive lineman Ronald Blair, torn ACL, out for the season for the 49ers. So on the flip side, Seattle had some pretty major injuries as well, but it was definitely a battle out there. And I got to be honest, this was one amazing game.
It was right up until the end. Incredible.
It's these two teams. If you look at the 49ers were without, we talked George Kittle. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. Jimmy G was not on his game. He fumbled the ball twice. He threw a few interceptions, as did Russell Wilson, being forced to throw some interceptions. and they still managed to tie the game and only lose by 3 points, which really, you've got to give the 49ers team kudos, especially their defense. I know Robert Sala is just fantastic for this team. The question is, will they bounce back? How do they go into Cardinals, another division rival, this Sunday, and come out for the win?
They will absolutely bounce back to go 8-0. And then, you know, this... it's so rare that a team can go undefeated all season.
It is.
And everyone can get you at some point, but the 49ers will be back on top next week.
Any picks so far, Teresa, in the NFC?
NFC. You know, I am really liking the Saints. I don't like how they played yesterday, but
that was horrible.
I know, but the Saints are definitely, I think, a team to watch out for in the NFC.
I agree. We just covered a few of, we're going to talk AFC games here too, but Monday Night Football, another great game. Next Monday, we'll be in Mexico City for that game. But a few headlines today in the NFL. So this Saturday, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Colin Kaepernick was invited to do an open workout for teams in Atlanta. The NFL is opening this up and inviting general managers and scouts to come watch him. Any thoughts on that? I didn't even know this guy is still... Why a special workout for him, right? Clearly, Antonio Brown's not coming back, but I thought Colin would be done. Apparently not so. So, private workout. Good for him, I guess. Bengals wave linebacker Preston Brown and the Bengals tight end Drew Sample suffers a high ankle sprain in their loss versus the Ravens. Dallas Cowboys O-lineman Connor Williams to undergo arthroscopic knee surgery. And Lions quarterback Matt Stafford is day-to-day. He did suffer a fractured bone in his back against the Raiders in Week 9. The Philadelphia Eagles signed Brandon Brooks to a 4-year extension through 2024. This makes him the NFL's top paid guard to date. Sad news for the Atlanta Falcons. Devontae Freeman diagnosed with a foot sprain and will have an MRI today. So there you go. News in the NFL. College. Let's talk about college football. Arkansas fires their head coach Chad Morris in less than 2 seasons, the school announced. The Razorbacks lost 45-19 at home to Western Kentucky, and they fall 2-8 so far this season. At Notre Dame, they lost defensive end Julian Okwara for the rest of the season with a fractured fibula. I got to be honest, injuries can just ruin your entire season. In Major League Baseball, the Cardinals bring back 38-year-old pitcher Adam Wainwright, and they sign him to a 1-year deal. Congrats to him. Talking about some AFC games, you know, looking at this past weekend, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. Right now, everybody's on the Lamar bandwagon, and I think he's really doing a great job for the Ravens. But let's be honest. They played the 0-9 winless Cincinnati Bengals. So my question is...
They had to win.
Is he that worthy right. to get this much praise to date? I don't know.
They are top of the division, but again, they played the Bengals. You know, we'll see in the weeks to come if he's worthy of all the hype.
Yeah, we'll see. He did have 223 yards, 3 touchdowns. He actually ran a 47-yard run. Honestly, he looked like a running back to me. But he had a second perfect passer rating game. I think he's working for that MVP title this year, along with Russell Wilson. We'll see more about that. Cincinnati Bengals will take on the Raiders this week. Another game that was fascinating to watch. Kansas City and Tennessee Titans, Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs did return, still putting up amazing numbers for this team, 446 yards and 3 touchdowns. But Tennessee Titans, their defense held them, and this was a nail biter. It went right down to the end. The Chiefs had a 9-point lead with 12 minutes left, and then a 5-point advantage with just over 3 minutes remaining in this game. Goes for the kick, misses the field goal. Here we go. Here's another scenario of missing the field goal. Giving the Titans quarterback, Nate Tannehill, time to come back. He's had an average year for the Titans, but this time came out on top, the victor. The Titans recovered the ball at their own 39. They only needed 4 plays to score and then a winning touchdown. occurred by Ryan Tannehill with 23-yard pass to Adam Humphries, who was actually quiet all day. Titans win this one 35-32. Another interesting AFC team, the Kansas City Chiefs, to see them fall. We were just talking about that before the show. I'm not certain this team is anything without Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to say not anything. As far as the run game, as far as the defense, my opinion, you have to question that. I guess it's fair to say, right?
I agree. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the playmaker. And when someone like that goes down with an injury, and those knee injuries, dislocated knee, you know, my daughter had one. It took her 6 weeks to come back, and
he was
on the field in three. So it's going to be a while before he's as mobile as he was and able to make those plays like he did. And we'll see if they can hold it out and come back at the end of the season.
They've got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. Congrats to the New York Jets and Chris right here in studio, who's a Jets fan. They beat Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. Giants fall to 2-8 and they head into their bye week. Daniel Jones for the Giants, 308 yards. They came off, and they're coming off a six-game losing streak. The Giants fell behind early 14-0 and rallied to take a six-point lead. Then the Jets put some numbers up in that last quarter. Sam Darnold with 230 yards, two touchdowns. Jets come back to win this 34-27. Congrats to the Miami Dolphins, by the way. They won their second win. I'm so happy for them. They beat the Indianapolis Colts. As we know, their quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, is out, injured. Backup quarterback Brian Hoyer was in for the Colts through three interceptions. That's the tough thing. That can lose the games for you. You turn the ball over, it doesn't look good for you down the road. But Dolphins win the 16-12. Can I say they now have an official winning streak? They're actually a winning streak. Good for them. And the Buffalo Bills come up short in loss to the Cleveland Browns. The Browns end their four-game losing streak. The Bills still a contender in the wild card race. They're just second behind the Patriots in their division. But, the Cleveland Browns struggled in goal-to-goal situations all game, but did manage to come out and win this. Jarvis Landry, 97 yards and a touchdown, and Odell Beckham Jr., 5 receptions and 57 yards. Baker Mayfield, throwing for 238 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was 26 of 38. Vegas Golden Knights, oh my goodness, what a tough, tough weekend we had, coming off of a loss, a heartbreaker with the Capitals over the weekend. Tomorrow night, at T-Mobile Arena, they will take on the Blackhawks. The puck drops at 7 p.m. As I mentioned earlier, we have former 49er players Jesse Sapolu and Ricky Waters will be joining us later in the hour. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And go to our website, VegasSportsGirl.com. You can place your bets, see who's been on the show, ask any questions. We've got a lot of sports coming up, Teresa. We hope that you just stay with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Tony.
And Nikki Birdie with the Goody Two Shoes Foundation. Put your best foot forward and tune into
the Vegas Sports Girl.
All right, welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl and Nikki and Tony Birdie. Love them and Goody Two Shoes Foundation. Do you know Nikki?
I don't.
No, I'll have to introduce her. She's amazing. Teresa Petronovich joining us in studio on Vegas Sports Girl. Later this hour, Jesse Sapolu and Ricky Waters, Super Bowl champions, they'll be joining us on the show as well. We were just talking about the crazy weekend in sports. I know we're going to talk that LSU-Alabama game, and we were talking about the rankings in a bit. Those Saints, the New Orleans Saints, let's take it to the NFC. Taking on Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, they come into this game for the Atlanta Falcons. You've got your head coach, Dan Quinn, job on the line. Players were already told if they don't win this game and they don't play. By the way, why is the pressure being put on them against the Saints? The Saints are one of the top five teams in the entire NFL. They should have had the pressure at the beginning of the season. But New Orleans Saints take on the Atlanta Falcons. This one was played at the Dome in Louisiana. And if you haven't been there, this is one crazy place to play. These fans get into it. Falcons come into this game, 1 win, 7 losses to the Saints, 7-1. So complete flip-flop game. Who, by the way, we talked about, I still believe they're one of the top teams in the NFC. I know Seattle won last night. I think Saints are right there at the top, despite the loss. The Falcons stopped Drew Brees and this offense, which, by the way, their running back, Alvin Kamara, came back from an injury, did not look the same. The Falcons held Kamara to 24 yards this game. Drew Brees threw for 287 yards. Wide receiver Michael Thomas for the Saints, 152 yards. Falcons sacked Brees six times. Now, I have not seen that. I don't remember seeing that in the last few years. That was a stunner to me. Did you happen to see that game?
I did not get to watch that game. I saw the final score. Drew's line really does a great job of protecting him, so that's shocking to me that they got six sacks.
Six sacks. Very frustrated in New Orleans, but Julio Jones for the Falcons really stepped up, like he typically does, making those first downs. Falcons in this game, I mean, to think that, you know, they were definitely the underdogs. They came out, they win this 26-9. The Saints could not even put a touchdown up on the board. Not worried about them. I truly believe this was just a fluke in that division. I don't know if the Saints were underestimating the Falcons, but that Brees and Kamara combination just wasn't the same. Not what I'm used to seeing. So we shall see this weekend as the Saints will take on Tampa Bay and Jameis Winston, which, by the way, is another division rival. The Rams and Steelers, this was another one. I'll tell you, Pittsburgh came into this game ready to play Jared Goff and the Rams. The Steelers' defense and the pressure they put on Goff was unbelievable. Goff threw for 243 yards and two interceptions. Gurley of the Rams held at just 73 yards. He really didn't get the ball too much. But it was a low-scoring game. Pittsburgh always does this. Towards midseason to the end of the year, they always tend to gel. They win this game 17-12. And when I looked at both teams, these were two teams that really were in a must-win situation for their respective wild cards in their conferences. Pittsburgh entered this game with the second most forced turnovers in the NFL. TJ Watt for the Steelers coming up with two of the Steelers' sacks. Pittsburgh dominant on third downs, holding the Rams to 1-14 on third downs.
Wow.
Frankly, the quarterback for the Steelers, Mason Rudolph, just totally outplayed Jared Goff in this matchup. So good job, Steelers. And now they're in the hunt.
They are. He can never rule out those Steelers, man. I always hated it at the Broncos when the Steelers would come in and we'd get them in a playoff game. They'd get that wild card and they'd come in. And it just broke my heart so many times in those damn playoffs. Absolutely.
Did you get nervous? Because a lot of times you were directing the dance team, but a lot of times people think we just don't really get into the games. I mean, and that was a huge AFC playoff game.
Absolutely.
You feel the nerves and the pressure, I'm sure, just like the playoff, just like the players do.
Oh, yes.
I know I did.
Oh, the amount of pressure on that one game is incredible. And, you know, or planning all the game entertainment and so much work goes into it, not only from the entertainment part, but from the cheerleaders and all of the planning. And oh, I just would always cringe when I would see the Steelers on our matchup because you just,
you know, they're coming into play.
They're coming into play. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good job, though, for Pittsburgh fans. I know that they're happy about that. Chicago Bears, they end their four-game losing streak. They beat the Lions 20-13. This was another big game in the division. Lions' chances of making the playoffs are diminishing if they don't step it up. Mitch Trubisky with 173 yards and three touchdowns for the Bears. The other game, there are two more games that I really loved to watch this past weekend. Green Bay Packers and the Panthers. And I really wasn't sure who was going to show up this game because the Panthers, as of late, look so good. I know they have a few losses on their record, but they play good on both sides of the ball. And Christian McCaffrey, their running back, is just so hard to stop. He ran for 108 yards and one touchdown. Aaron Rodgers found a way to trap that Panthers defense and actually to get out of there, to make some plays. He threw for 233 yards. He was 24 for 16. Panthers had the opportunity to score as they were in the red zone in the last seconds of the game, but the Packers D stopped them. Excuse me. the Panthers, excuse me, the Packers stopped them in the end zone. Green Bay wins this 24-16. They easily could have tied this game up to go into OT. And this was like a snowball. It was snowing beyond crazy at Lambeau Stadium. So Sunday night, the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings, two potential playoff teams in the NFC. This was a back-and-forth game. Dak Prescott still without a new contract, throwing for 397 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. Zeke Elliott, the Cowboys running back, was very frustrated. He was really just held to 47 yards, which is not typical for him. The Vikings defense, they're real. They came into play ball. Minnesota Vikings strong on both sides of the ball. Kirk Cousins, their quarterback, throwing for two touchdowns and 220 yards. Minnesota wins this one in Dallas, 28-24. They won five of their last six games. Thursday night football this week, we've got the Steelers and the Browns. Big AFC rivalry. We talked about those Steelers. I think they're on a roll right now.
Yeah.
So
quick turnaround for them.
A good game to look out for this Thursday night. Let's talk college football. Speaking of upsets this weekend, I know we talked about that LSU and Bama game on Saturday. Over the years, it's been hard for LSU to beat Saban and Alabama. Did you watch it? Tell us your thoughts on that.
I watched that game. It was incredible. I mean, I live with a huge LSU fan, and I have to say he was just hoping for a good game, and it came out. I mean, it's so hard for them to beat Bama, and now that they have done it, this is going to be incredible for their recruiting, their confidence, all of those things going into the end of the college season.
Yep.
But it was incredible. And Bama, they came out, they did not have a good start. But that second half, they were like a freight train. And Najee Harris, I thought he was just going to carry them on his back all the way
that
through.
That was insane.
I know. And they made it really, really tight at the end. But I was glad LSU pulled it out and got the win.
It was a good one.
Yeah,
it was a very good win for LSU because it's been tough for them. They've got some great fans, as does Bama. They were heartbroken. I got to tell you, Nick Saban looked very stressed out at the end of that game. We were just talking about the rankings in college, which I believe they're probably going to be released later today. Right now, though, I believe LSU was ranked at one. Alabama might have fallen out of the top five.
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's official yet, but that's what
Clemson,
I heard.
Clemson, my guess is Clemson and Georgia, probably, and Ohio State probably in that top four. Is what I'm anticipating. This weekend, LSU will take on Ole Miss, and Oklahoma will play Baylor. A couple of good college games on Saturday. If you're looking at those college percentages of teams making the playoffs, the All-State playoff picture came out this morning. Ohio State, 89% chance of making the playoffs. LSU, 87%. Clemson, 82%, if they keep that up. And Alabama, now this kind of shocked me, 40%. I don't know about that. That's a little shocking.
Yes.
So we'll have to keep an eye out for the latest rankings in college football. Good stuff. Teresa Petronovich in studio with me today on Vegas Sports Girl. Coming up after the break, we will have former 49er player Jesse Sapolu joining us. And later in the hour, running back Ricky Waters. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us on Vegas Sports Girl.
Hi, I'm Terry Fader, and I'm lynched in the impersonating turtle. We perform at the Mirage, but when we're not performing, we listen to Vegas Sports Girl.
That's right. Sports and stilettos.
Terry's wearing them right now.
All right, that tune will get you going. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. It's Tuesday, and joining me today, Teresa Petronovich in studio. I'm so glad you're here, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. This is so much fun.
It is fun. We love sports, and we've got a special guest on the phone right now. I cannot wait to introduce you to this guy right here. He played for the San Francisco 49ers. In fact, all of the years of his career, he was with the 49ers. Center, he was an offensive guard, four-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler, and two-time All-Pro. Jesse Sapolu is joining us. Hey, my friend.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you're calling. Now, I know that, where are you right now, Jesse? Are you in the Bay Area?
No, I just landed this afternoon from the Bay Area. I was at the game last night, so a little tough loss. But, the boys fought hard, And to be 8-1 at this stage, it's a pretty good start for the 49ers.
It's a great start, Jess. And I know that we worked together in 94 where we won our Super Bowl rings mm-hmm. together. And I want to ask you, before we get to the game last night, first and foremost, I know you still do a lot with the San Francisco 49er alumni. You contribute so much time to the community. Can you share some of what you're doing with them right now at this point?
Well, I'm one of the alumni coordinators. You know, one of the great 49ers, R.C. Owens, passed away. And they wanted guys from the dynasty era to take over the alumni department, and I'm one of those guys. But I commute from Los Angeles. But a lot of the stuff that we do, Tanya, is community relations, you know. And then during the games, we go and see our corporate sponsors. And, you know, when the team struggles, whether it's off the field or what we do on the field as we're building, you know, a lot of our sponsors want to see the guys that brought championships to the city. And that's pretty much what we do.
And I know that the 49ers are always doing so much in that community. They spend days during the weeks, players, coaches, giving time back. How important is it, in your opinion, for players to give back that time to community? I know to the military and veterans, how important is that off the field just as much as being a star on the field?
Well, it's important because anytime you succeed as an athlete, when you think back, there's people that, you know, we're all 14, 15-year-olds that can veer the wrong way, and there's always people that pulled you in the right direction and help you get to where you are. So it's very, very important for us to give back to those kids and share our experiences with those kids. And also the community as a whole. We do a lot of fundraisers, charity golf tournaments. Those are the type of fundraisers that we're involved in the Bay Area.
Let's talk about that game last night, Jess. I'll tell you what, it was a heartbreaker. I'm still heartbroken from it. I got to be honest. That was crushing. 49ers defense. I can't tell mm-hmm. you how much they just balled it out last night. They were amazing.
Yeah.
Talk about, I know that Teresa's joining us. She worked with the 49ers and the Denver Broncos for many years. And at the break, we were talking about Mike and Kyle Shanahan. Kyle mm-hmm. Shanahan, a ball boy with the 49ers. Now he's leading this team with general manager John Lynch.
John, also mm-hmm. from the Denver Broncos.
Yes, exactly. Talk about their leadership and what you see in that 49er locker room.
Well, I think the fact that, you know, you're right. Kyle was a ball boy when I played. His dad, Mike, was my coordinator for 3 years before he became the head coach in Denver. And, of course, John Lynch has championship pedigree, you know, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then ended his career in Denver. Just setting the standard of the expectations of what needs to be done to become a championship football team. You know, today with the influences of social media and how these athletes can get in trouble in many more ways than we ever experienced in my era, it's important that we set a standard and we make sure that we bring in players that put the team first and foremost, because that's what's going to take to have that chemistry and set that standard to win championships.
Jess, how much does Kyle Shanahan really emphasize? And we talked about this team, and he's been there now. This is his third season with John Lynch. He's been through adversity. He lost his quarterback last year. He's been through challenges. Last night we had players that went out on injury. This guy doesn't change. Whether he's winning 8-0 or he's 8-1, he's very consistent with his demeanor. I always notice, and you can probably shed more light on this, how much he stresses the importance of character you talked about and humility to this ball team.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important. And I think the fact that Kyle understands, at this day and age, you know, so many people want success right away. But if you believe in your system and what you're trying to install, you're going to need some time to do it. And I think last year with injuries, this kind of derailed us after Jimmy G came over the year before and gave us hope going into last year. And then this year, you know, we knew we had some talent that makes it possible for us to contend for the playoffs. You know, and we, you know, nobody knows for sure how it's going to work out or come together. But to start off 8-0 and then finally, you know, we lost the game last night in the last 2 seconds of the game. You know, it's not like we got blown out. And Seattle right. Is a real good team. So
with injured players, too, by the way, Jess, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's important. You know, we do a lot of symposium with a lot of our players, which us, the alumni, are involved in that, in how important character is, what to be careful with, because, you know, as you know, one of the best receivers in the NFL through social media, it's costing him millions of dollars.
Yeah,
probably might cost him his career. And those are the outside influences and forces that we never had to deal with, you know. And it was easier if someone makes a mistake to bring that person into the office back in our era, scold him, bring the police officers in there, talk to this young man. But in today's day and age, you know, you tweet something, you press that button, your career might be over. So those are the things that we have to watch out for. Those are the things that we have to, you know, talk to our young players about. And it's a different era now.
How much of these games are the players, they focus so much on each other, not about themselves. We talked about the lack of selfishness with this team. And one thing I really am noticing, too, the players are, whenever they're giving compliments, it's always about their teammates. How much do they play for one another, in your opinion?
Well, there's no question that we're 8-1 because of that very reason. You know, and it's so funny because when we signed Sherman, you know, a lot of the 49er fans are, you know, a lot of the fans say their comments based on emotions. But I knew Sherman was a great leader. But, you know, he was always a thorn on our side. And he spoke his mind. But the thing with him is he spoke his mind to defend his team. It was never about a me type of guy. So it's so important that the success of this particular team is because of that very reason. Guys like George Kittle, who's always crediting someone else, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, whenever he has a good game, it's always about the line, you know. And Richard Sherman is always about, it's not the scoreboard, it's the process, what we have to focus on from play to play, which teaches our young players that's what it's going to take to contend for the championship. So I like the chemistry of this team. You know, obviously last night's tough loss is a hurdle that they're going to have to learn to overcome, because if they don't get over it quickly, you know, Arizona is a dangerous team that can trap us.
Absolutely.
And can have two losses in a row.
And do you think, Jess, in your opinion, these guys are going to bounce back and move forward? They know the importance of this Sunday game. They're going to fix their mistakes. They're going to look at the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that? Can they rebound very quickly, in your opinion?
Well, we'll find out soon. But from what I heard, you know, watching the media, you know, I try to feed their interviews to get a sense of how they feel. It's everything's been great. You know, Sherman is saying, you know, you learn more from a loss than you are if you know from a win. So, and a lot of the other guys are saying, you know, we fought hard. We made a lot of mistakes. We're still in the game. We got to forget it, put this away, and focus on Arizona. So that's a great thing.
I think you guys have a great leadership team there in the San Francisco offices. Another question I have to ask you. Best memory with the 49ers, Jess?
Well, there's so many.
If you were to pick one.
You know, everybody thinks it's a Super Bowl game, but I remember a Monday night in Los Angeles, and the Rams was the second best team in the league. Well, we just happened to be in the same division. In fact, we ended up playing the Rams 3 times that year. And it's possible that we could play Seattle 3 times this year. You know, depending on how things fall into place. But we were down by 17 with 6 minutes to go on a Monday night here in Los Angeles. All their fans were, you know, hooping and hollering, thought they won the game, but we exploded for 24 points with John Taylor taking 2 90-yard touchdown passes.
Wow.
And Joe was hot. So, you know, it's the type of games where everybody thought the game was over and it's impossible for us to come back. And for us, for us to pull it off and stay together in times of trying times when everybody thought we had no chance. Those are the great memories for me. You know, Super Bowls are great, but those are some of the character-building type of games that made us who we were.
Jesse, do you see similarities with the team today as when you were on that team, when you guys were really gelling and clicking together and you had some great seasons? Do you see similarities in a championship team?
Well, I see similarities, but I have to be careful because we're only 9 games in, you
sure.
know. But here's a similarity that I saw yesterday. The stands were full during the warm-ups, you know.
Wow.
Which was a great thing because, you know, when Dallas came back in the 90s and brought some pretty good teams with Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith, and they challenged us in the early 90s. Those were some great memories because Candlestick Park was packed. The stands was already packed doing warm-ups, and I saw that this Monday, and I just smiled, you know, because I felt my stomach turning for the first time in a long time watching the Niners play because I knew it meant something. The games were starting to mean something, and the similarity so far is from that standpoint. But, you know, we try to get this team to focus one game at a time because they're such a young team. And don't look too far forward and keep going the way they've been doing. So, like I said, so far 8-1 is a pretty good start.
That's awesome.
It's a great start.
It's great, Jesse. Thank you so much for joining us on Vegas Sports Girl. And, you know, I know Raiders are that opposite Bay Area team. But, you know, they're coming to Vegas next year. Hopefully you'll make it out to one of these games.
Oh, yeah, I'll make sure I make it. If the Niners play there, I'll come on that road trip.
Jess, it's good talking to you. Thank you so much, and hope to see you soon, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. Jesse Sapolu joining us from Southern California. He was an amazing player. It's really interesting to hear some of the veterans that were and they wear championship rings from past 49er games and seasons get their perspective on today's team. So, unfortunately, they had a loss, but the question is, will they bounce back? Coming up this hour, we'll have running back Ricky Waters joining us. We've got more sports coming up right after the break.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
I'm Ricky.
And we are the Chippendales in Las Vegas, and we listen to Vegas Sports Girl all the time, baby.
All right, a little bit of Whitesnake and Chippendales there for you. This is the entertainment capital of the world. So even with sports, we've got a lot of entertainers that join us as well. And right now, joining us on the phone, I'm so excited to introduce to you our next guest. Now, this guy and I worked together with the San Francisco 49ers, Super Bowl champion, 5-time Pro Bowler, and 3-time All-Pro former running back for the San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Seattle Seahawks. Rick Waters is on the phone. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, buddy. How are you? It's so good to hear your voice.
Man, really good.
So I understand you were at that game last night, 49ers in Seattle, and you were hanging out with somebody. Can you tell us what you were doing and who you were with?
Oh, yeah, I was with E-40. You know, he has that new song out, the 49er game, and so it's just starting to pick up some traction. He's a guy that used to be a neighbor of mine in Blackhawk, so we became kind of close then, and we're still cool, and he loves the 49ers, and he loves to come watch us play, and it's just really cool to hang out with a guy like that. He's a lot of fun, and he knows his football, too, and he loves football.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that place, I know it was rocking last night. The fans were going crazy. Before we talk about the game, I got to ask you, what you been up to after football? I know you're motivating. You're a motivational speaker. You've got kids. Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, quite a bit. Well, it's been great coming back to San Francisco because coming back here and being able to do a little bit of announcing and stuff like that, which was a lot of fun, and covering the team, you know, with Dennis Brown, another guy I'm sure you know that played when I was playing. So that's been great. But then also, for me, it's just giving back. I had a great career. I had great fans, great friends, family, everything. So I just love being able to give back. And like you're saying, you know, motivational speaking and, you know, mentoring young people and helping people who are at risk and kids were in foster care and all that kind of stuff. But I've also been doing a lot of stuff teaming up with other guys like Zach Ertz, who's doing great things in Philadelphia. LeSean McCoy, he's doing great things in Harrisburg, my hometown, and in Philly as well. So it's just cool to be able to do those things. And now that I'm back here with the 49ers Academy and the things that they're doing here, I love the outreach that my team is doing, and I can be a part of it. And it's just a lot of fun doing that and going to the games, hanging out, and being a part of the team and watching this this transition, you know, as they seem to really be getting things together.
It is. And I got, before we talk about this game, I have to ask you, because you coached high school kids. What does an all-pro running back coach kids? What do you teach them? What's the most important thing when talking to kids that want to get into football?
I think the most important thing is to believe in yourself no matter what you do. If it's football, it's football. If it's another sport or anything you do, you have to believe in yourself, and you have to work hard at your craft. Whatever it is, you have to get out there and practice. It's not going to just happen. It's not something that you sprinkle some magic dust or something like that and it just happens. It happens every day. We're working, getting good work habits so that you start to like actually doing it. I mean, I remember when I kind of felt like I was starting to turn a corner in a high school where I started liking to work out, and it wasn't a chore anymore. It wasn't like, oh God, I have to go work out, or we're about to go play, have practice, or we're going to hit today, or whatever. It was like, yeah, we're about to hit today, you know, or we're going to have practice, or I can't wait to show what I can do this next time I go. And every time I'd have practice, I would work on something different. I'd watch teams that are playing. I'd watch my favorite players and stuff, and I'd get tips from them. And then I'd work on it. And of course, if you have somebody, a good coach is always help. Or a good mentor definitely always helps.
So Jesse Sapolu, one of your former teammates, was just on the show. We were talking about old times and the game last night. You actually played with the 49ers from 91 to 94, the Eagles in between, and then you went to the Seahawks 98 to 2001. Let's talk about this NFC West rivalry. You've got the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. You played for both teams. Who do you root for? I'm hoping the Niners, because you were at Levi Stadium last night.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's really a funny thing because both organizations did very well by me, I feel. And I care about both teams and want them to do well.
Yes.
So it is funny that now they're in the same division, because when I was playing for Seattle, they weren't. They were.
I remember.
It was totally different. So now it's like, so before it didn't really matter if I liked both teams. But now it's like, no, you can't like both.
You have to be neutral, right? Ricky,
I was like, oh my God, it's so crazy. It was the energy. It was so amazing last night. It was so much fun. It felt like a playoff game.
I want to get your thoughts on the run game for the 49ers before we have to go. I know we have just a few minutes. Tell us about the run game.
Oh, I love the running game. I love the way they breed us. I mean, I love, he's one of those guys that can just break it. And on any given play, he has that speed, and in the way he's such a slasher. And Coleman, I love his whole game. He has the all-around game. He's very, very slippery, and he has the moves, and both those guys can catch the ball well, which is great as well. Mostert, man, he's one of those guys that he can be an every-down back. I mean, he has the size, the speed, and he's real tough. So, I mean, I love the running game that they have there. And they all look good.
Rick, I thank you so much. We ran out of time. I can't thank you enough, my friend. I'll be in touch soon.
Yes, indeed. No doubt.
Have a good day.